You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
This is Ashley Winch in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
And I'm Kat Gunther from White Lake, Michigan. You're listening to the Quarter Horse Podcast for Tuesday, June 17th. Good morning, Horse World.
You're listening to the Quarter Horse Podcast, where we explore the versatility of the world's most popular breed of horse, the American Quarter Horse.
This week, we are diving back into disciplines, and I'm so excited to explore the spirit of the working ranch horse. I think a discipline in which you'll really see a majority are quarter horses, maybe some paints, but this is definitely the quarter horse's sandbox, and that is versatility ranch. Kat, do you have any experience in this discipline? Can you tell us a little bit about it?
I don't. I think I've talked about this before when we did ranch riding, but I showed one ranch riding class at the Novice Championships a million years ago, and it was so fun. I dressed up like, I felt like Jesse.
Yes. You know,
Jesse. I had the braids going. So that's my extent with any kind of like showing ranch classes, but it was super fun. I think ranch horses are super cute.
I know. They're kind of pocket-sized, and they have this can-do attitude, and it's just the sweetest, like, oh, I just want to cuddle them up. They're so cute.
I know. Oh, what about you, Ashley? What's your experience with this?
So I actually did a class, a versatility ranch class, when I did my Extreme Mustang makeover years ago. And
it was like 2 years ago. Oh, don't worry about it.
Right. Anyway, we won't talk about that. So, you know, I have an English background, and they give you the pattern. And so there's obstacles and a pattern, and you have to hit movements at certain places. It was a lot for me to digest. And I'm sure like many of our listeners have some competition anxiety. And so it was really hard for me to focus, remember everything, blah, blah, blah. I also had no idea what a rollback was. So like that was something to learn, you know, in the like 2 hours I had to prep for the class, like, because they give you, you know, the pattern and then you learn it and then you go do it, like bing, bing, boom. However, my Mustang, bless her little heart, we placed top 10. And I was really proud of myself.
That's because impressive.
She was very nervous. She was obviously picking up on my energy, but she's always been a great trail horse. And a lot of what we encountered on the trail, like wooden bridges over rivers and stuff, were a part of the class. And so she recognized that. Mm-hmm. And so all that to say, it's a super fun discipline that I think has a lot of real world application.
For sure. I think that's the cool part about it, is that it's things that you would see out on a ranch or, you know, like out in the actual world, but in the show ring.
Exactly. You know, this isn't just walk, trot, lope on the rail, turn around, go the other way. This is, we're opening gates. We're going over bridges. We're side passing over logs. You know, this is all stuff that I've run into on the trail. And I've had friends and horses get injured because their horses weren't trained or capable of these maneuvers on the trail. I had to drive to a trailer full of three Mustangs straight to the ER because my friend's Mustang got caught up on a log, and it was terrifying.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Is it okay?
Or did she was fine. She got she was stabbed by like a branch that was hanging off the log up under her inner thigh is like where I would say. And so she freaked. The cowboy got tossed. I could see a trigger warning if you're squeamish, fast forward. I could see like his forearm bone.
Oh my gosh.
And he fell into a swamp. So like that's an open wound in standing Virginia swamp water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not good. But see, there's all these elements of being outside on the trail and doing all these things. a little safer in the show ring.
That's right.
Tired.
A little bit safer, but it's the applicability is there, you know?
Yeah.
And the funniest part of that story was his Mustang. She was huge, 16'2". I mean, the biggest Mustang I've ever seen.
Ooh, yeah.
And she historically would not load. And so I'm like freaking out. He's like bleeding everywhere. I'm loading the horses. She got right in that trailer. God bless America.
Oh,
I think she knew we were like not messing around. And then, you know, I whip it. Oh, I don't want to cuss. I whip right into the ER with the horse trailer.
Oh my gosh. And then did you like run him in? And then
yeah. And then I was like, okay, gotta go take care of the horses. Bye.
That is wild. I was not expecting the story to the intro to this episode to go this way.
I know. Me neither. The power of podcasting.
Oh, I know. Well, I'm glad they're both okay. That's wild.
Everybody ended up okay. They did not place top 10 in the trail class, but that's just me being shady.
Yeah. You know. At least nobody died. So that's a win.
Of course not. Come on. Come on. So tell us about the guests we have today.
So today we're going to be talking to Christy Lee Smith and Jenna Seal. Both are professional horsewomen and trainers, and they're going to tell us about versatility ranch classes. I'm very excited.
Yeehaw, let's go.
So Christy, how did you get involved with ranch versatility classes?
So I started like the first year that they offered it at the World Show as a stakes class was in 2012, I believe. And I was there showing in some other disciplines, and ranch riding wasn't even a class yet. And I went and watched it, and I was just really intrigued by it. I mean, there's just displays the versatility of the quarter horse. It's kind of a little bit more natural way for the horse to go. I just was intrigued by the fact that the horse had to have a lot of handle and also had to do some trail obstacles. And, you know, in the beginning, they were kind of not sure, I don't think, where they were going with it. So, you know, they had cows and they had poles and they had, you know, the whole pattern thing. So I was just really intrigued by it. So I went home, and I had a horse that was kind of in the middle of a lot of different events. He kind of just didn't suit anywhere, but he was super handy and he was a good mover, and just started training him up for it and started showing in it in the Northeast where I'm from, and just had a really good time with it. Wasn't super popular in the beginning, but as time went on, you know, I started to gain some customers for it, and, you know, it's done nothing but get more popular and popular. As the years have gone on, it's great to see. And now I have a whole barn full of ranch horses. So
I love that you were kind of there from the start with the AQHA circuit and how it's changed. That must have been really neat to have the front seat to. Tell me what you were competing in before you got involved in the ranch classes.
All of the all-around events I showed in as a youth exhibitor. My parents had a lot of high-end halter horses, so I showed in the halter. I'm on the World Show level since I was 10 years old.
Wow.
And And so I also did, you know, the Hunter Under Saddle and the Western Pleasure and the NSBA stuff as a kid, and the all-around stuff, all of it pretty much. And then this, I just felt like this was kind of like a combination of a lot of the things that I had been doing. You know, like I loved horsemanship as a kid, and this was just like, and I loved the trail, and I showed in the Western Riding also. And this just was like a combination of of all the things, you know, a little bit of everything in one. So I think maybe that's why, you know, I was so drawn to it.
So what is it like taking a traditional all-around horse, you know, Western Riding, the traditional trail classes, Pleasure, and taking them into the ranch versatility classes? What does that transition look like?
Well, I think now it's gotten specialized enough that, you know, I wouldn't say those horses necessarily show in the ranch events. But for me, you know, the transition was, I take a lot of the things that I learned along the way in the trail and about, you know, changing leads and, you know, teaching a horse how to go to the bridle when I showed in the hunt seat, you know, even how to, you know, lengthen a horse's stride. That's all things I use, you know, on my ranch horses.
Okay. And out of my own curiosity here, which obstacles do you think are the most challenging and how do you handle them?
In the ranch trail?
Yes.
Probably the lopeovers, only because these horses don't have, they're going quicker. They have a longer stride than, say, a traditional trail horse, you know, like a Western Pleasure type horse would have. So sometimes the way that they, you have to really, I think it helps to really walk the course and really look at it and how you're going to, you know, navigate the lopeovers, because a lot of times they're on an angle or, you know, in a serpentine, and you have to hit it just right to get the striding right to the lopeovers on these horses. And, you know, even now they're starting to do like extended lopeovers. We're seeing a lot with, you know, bring it back, lead change to another lopeover. They're kind of doing like these combinations with the lopeovers. So that's something I practice a lot on these horses. It I actually talked to some friends of mine that show, you know, on the AQHA trail now, and they, you know, they said, I was like, well, you ought to be good at this because you're so good at the regular trail. And they're like, yeah, not so much, you know. You'd be surprised that these horses, they have a different, like I said, a longer stride. They're, you know, a little bit quicker out of the ground, and it's not as easy to get the stride on them as it is like on a pleasure horse.
Interesting. So just like how these classes show their versatility, it sounds to me that the horses themselves are more geared to be a working ranch horse versus, you know, walk, trot, lope around the show ring horse. Would that be correct?
Yes, definitely. All the horses, I wouldn't say that in the ranch riding, it has to be a certain type of breeding, but I do think seeing mostly horses that are by reining, you know, have a reining background, reining stallions or cow horse. Even that we've seen some cutting, you know, horse bloodlines mixed in as well. But yeah, more of the working horse, you know, bloodlines, I would say for sure, than say the Hunt Seat or the Western Pleasure. Although we have seen, you know, there has been ones that have been by, you know, all around studs that have, you know, this class. It's I'm not saying that it has to be one or another,
sure.
But say, you know, in the majority, we're seeing more of the working type horses in this event.
So pivoting a little bit, tell me what judges are looking for when you or your clients are entering the ring for this class.
I would say the judges are, mostly looking at your horse. You know, people get really carried away by their outfits, and, you know, I'm not saying that you don't have to look, you shouldn't look nice and that your horse shouldn't be turned out nice. I think that's kind of expected, honestly. You know, you're at a horse show and you should have a certain look, should look like you belong on a show. But I think the judges are mostly looking for you to come in, you know, be confident, know your pattern, share the horse to the best of your ability. But at the end of the day, I think they're mostly judging the horse. You know, they want to see that horse have a level, nice level top line, you know, go around with a nice cadence. You know, a horse that's a better mover is going to, you know, score higher in this. And also they're looking for horses that have some maneuverability, you know, in their stop, turn around, you know, side pass, horses that, you know, look like they could work all day on a ranch.
So what advice would you give to someone who wants to start showing in the ranch versatility classes?
I would say, you know, to go watch at some shows, even if you don't have, you know, a show near you, watch online. There's all the major shows have a live stream. So, you know, it's easy to watch. Say the VRH World is coming up. We're going to be going to the Paint World Show here in 2 weeks. You know, they're put a tremendous amount of money this year in the ranch classes, actually more than any other discipline. So that's really exciting. Excited to go to the Paint World this year. But yeah, but I mean, the NSBA World, the Congress, the World Show, all the major shows have live stream. So it's easy to, you know, watch the people that are excelling, that are doing well in the classes. It's easy also to access the scorecards. They're all online on the Horse Show Tracker, you know. It's very easy to gain knowledge about it. There's lots of videos online as well from people who are doing really well in these events, and, you know, easy to gain knowledge and, you know, get a good feel for it before you get involved. And then, you know, get yourself a good trainer and someone you trust and get a nice horse and go for it.
I love it. What is one thing that people might not realize about the skill or training that goes into ranch trail? What's something that has surprised you along the way?
So the ranch trail is relatively new. So, you know, ranch riding was an event, the first ranch event that they added, AQHA added as an actual class. And then, you know, ranch, they added ranch trail second. I showed in the first, in ranch trail for the first time in Florida in 2021. And that was the first year that it was an AQHA pointed class. Okay. And recently they've added the Western, the working Western rail as a pointed class. But I've seen lots of differences along the way in what we've kind of seen with the ranch trail. I think it's evolving. How's that? So in the beginning, there was like a lot of poles and we were, you know, doing like a lot of maneuvering and pole work. And as time has gone on, we've seen, you know, less poles and more actual obstacles and work that you would actually see on a ranch. So I think that's a good thing. That's kind of like, you know, the evolution of the class. And like at the World Show last year, we had a jump, like it looked like kind of like a big brush jump that we had to do and like, you know, extend the lope over this brush jump and then break down to the trot and then, you know, really serpentine hard in and out of these trees. And I think that's something we're seeing a lot is a lot of the serpentining. Like they want to see, you know, that you have really, really good steering on your horses. So you see a lot of the serpentining at the extended trot, you know, really tight serpentines at the trot. And you have to really be able to think quickly and be able to kind of go from one obstacle to the next, you know. Once you kind of get over through one, yeah, okay, now I'm on to the next one, you know, now how am I going to navigate this? Okay, I'm on, you know, so that your pattern really flows. I think that's probably the biggest challenge that I see people struggling with getting used to is being able to really connect obstacles and make it look seamless in between. How's that?
That's a good response. And then now we always ask our guests this final question. Can you tell me a funny story you were in the show ring or just in general with your favorite quarter horse?
My favorite quarter horse. Well, I'd say right now my favorite horse in the barn is actually my mom's horse. And I can say that because he's not a customer's horse. So I'm not picking favorites. He's actually a horse my mom and I own. And last year at the World Show, we had to rope. We didn't have to actually catch, but we had to, you know, pick the rope up and go into a pen of cattle and, you know, swing the rope and then come back out. Well, I personally have never roped. So I spent a lot of time once I saw that was our pattern at the World Show, working on a rope. And we had a lot of fun with that. A lot of laughs on me learning how to rope.
That's great. And so where can people find you? Do you have a website, Facebook page?
Yes. Yeah, so we have a Facebook page, Christy's Quarter Horses. We also have Instagram. I have a marketing lady named Allie Hubble, who's been doing a wonderful job doing all my content. We have a lot of content on Ranch Trail, different drills you can do. We also give clinics in the eastern half of the United States and in Canada also this year on ranch riding and ranch trail. So yeah, you can find us there. And again, there's lots of videos on there, different drills, different tips that you can take into consideration when showing in this class.
Awesome. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today on the Quarter Horse Podcast. Christy, we really appreciated learning more. Sentinel Extruded Feed is expertly formulated for mare and foal health. Just ask halter horse breeder and trainer Chris Ernstson. He's focused on raising the next world champions and says that Sentinel's safe start is a critical component for his brood mares when they're carrying and his foals as soon as they start creep feeding. Sentinel Safe Start is a highly fortified, high protein and high fat feed, providing the precise nutrition to support milk production and composition in mares and healthy foal growth. Visit feedsentinel.com/trusted to learn more about the horse feed trusted by world-class breeders like Chris Arntzen. That's feedsentinel.com/trusted.
Feed and supplements? You bet. Vaccines and dewormers? Got them. Halters and helmets? In stock. Prescription medications? Yep, and approved by your veterinarian. Your horse's favorite treats and toys? Of course. All these and more ship straight to your barn, fast and free for orders over $49. You can count on Chewy to keep your barn stocked and your horse happy. Start shopping today at chewy.com/equine. So now we are going to be talking with Jenna Seal, trainer at Jenna Seal Performance Horses. She specializes in versatility ranch horses, reining, and working cow horses. Hi, Jenna. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to chat with you. So
yeah,
thing I want to know is what inspired you to start showing and training horses in ranch versatility classes specifically?
So I have wanted to be a horse trainer my entire life. I grew up in it. My grandparents had a breeding operation where we bred halter horses, and they were the halter horses that were the really heavily race influenced. Mm-hmm. So they were really proportionate, correct athletic animals that could go do everything, and not just the halter, but they were huge. So I grew up riding halter or showing and riding halter horses. And then I got into the barrel horses and I did a little bit of the all around as well. And then my last year of the youth was 2014. Mm-hmm. So 2013, at the end of the year, a friend of mine was like, "Hey, you should come show the ranch pleasure with us." It was the ranch horse pleasure at that time. So I entered, you know, I didn't show my horse in the pleasure. We did everything else. So we entered up in the ranch pleasure, and I think he won the class and we qualified for the youth world at that horse show. So I was hooked after that. It was so much fun and I really enjoyed the freedom of that class rather than having to be stick straight, like the horsemanship or the pleasure or something like that. So I really liked the overall feel of that event. So I started doing that pretty heavily. And then we showed in it all year in 2014. Mm-hmm. And ended up winning the AQHA High Point in the Nation for 2014 in the youth. Oh, wow. And then I just was like, this is cool. This is what I want to do. But then I went off to college and I ended up being on the stock horse team and on the IHSA teams, both of them. Mm-hmm. So I did the horsemanship, the reining, the hunter over fences or the equitation over fences and the equitation on the flat. And then we did the reining, cow horse, trail, and ranch riding with ASHA. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of blossomed it from there. And I figured out that I really wanted to pursue just the ranch versatility events.
Wow. It sounds like you've tried it all.
I have really tried it all. Like anything that you can name, I've probably tried. So, yeah.
So what's it like taking a traditional show horse from like reining and then turning them into a versatility ranch type horse?
So it's not as hard as people think, but there is a lot of nuance to it. You have to really think about how they carry themselves. A lot of the reiners, especially, you know, some people are like, "Oh, the gunners don't move great." But if you teach that horse to have self-carriage and you pick that horse up, pick their belly up, you know, get their head up just a little bit, usually they move a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those reiners, I tell people that the reiners are robots and the cow horses want you to leave them alone. And with the ranch riding, we kind of need to be somewhere in the middle. Like, I don't want to dictate every single step of this horse's body, mm-hmm. but I do want them to be listening, to be responsive, to be really, really slight with my hands so that I can tell that horse what to do and they look natural doing it, but I don't want them to be so robotic that they look overdone.
That makes a lot of sense. So yeah. What is your favorite obstacle in ranch trail and why?
Oh, I honestly, the log drag is one of my favorites. I love when those horses kind of figure it out. Mm-hmm. And with the log drag, you can't do a lot with your hand. So when those horses get accustomed to that drag and you can just barely steer, I just put my hand forward and they just kind of go. And it's really cool to feel those horses start pulling that drag. When they get locked in, they just pull. One of my other favorites is the bridge and the walkovers, because I get such cool pictures over those. Those are definitely my favorite pictures to buy, because I try to get them really expressive over the bridge and those walk poles. So
makes sense. So with the log drag, is it just like a rope tied to a log and you pull it a certain distance?
Honestly, it can be anything. Usually it's a drag, like a log drag. Usually it's like a lariat rope or a softer, like a yacht rope kind of deal. And they usually put it around a log. And so we get horses used to dragging the log, but at the AQHA World Show, the Congress, the VRH World Show, it's usually something else. usually they have one of the big cattle feeders mm-hmm. that looks like a sled, and then they put 100 pounds of feed in it. So it's heavy. It's very heavy. So I usually ride with a pretty loose cinch, but last year at the World Show, my horse is a three-year-old last year, and he had never dragged. He had dragged that a couple of times at home, but we get there to the World Show, and they've got 100 pounds of feed in it, and we go to practice, and my saddle just about gets pulled off. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry, buddy. I got to cinch you up a little bit more. So,
oh, goodness. I didn't realize they add weight to it.
They do. It's kind of crazy almost. And we went to a show about a month ago, the Rommels and Rowels in Decatur, and we dragged a roping calf on a sled, and they had water in it to begin with. And I dallied off on a big 16 hand Traveling Jones cow horse that we have. And he's big. He's a large horse. And I was like, oh my God, I can't even drag this. Like, this is crazy. Yeah. So they did take a little bit of the water out, but it was like something different and new that we had to drag. Mm-hmm. And I have a horse that she's a little bit, you know, leery of the drag anyway, even just the log. So we did not even attempt it. We just trotted around it. So,
fair enough. I can't imagine my old show horse. He passed away, but I can't imagine him even attempting to try to pull anything. So I give anybody credit that can do it.
Yes, they definitely have to get more broke. And some of those reiners, they've never done that kind of stuff before. So we get those in. And that's one of the first things that we work on and we have to teach is the log drag. So they usually get the poles okay, and they can lope over the poles and trot the poles, and maybe they're okay with the gate, but it's usually the log drag that gets you. So
I see why.
Yeah.
No, so this is kind of a 180, but what kind of outfits do people wear in the ring? I know it's less bling than say like a horse mm-hmm. or a Western pleasure, but what's the usual attire?
So for me personally, as a professional, I don't dress up a lot. I encourage my amateurs to wear whatever makes them feel the best, but within reason. So I am very simple. I wear the CR Sun Smarts or Sun Savvies now pretty exclusively, even in the winter. I love those shirts. I love the way they look. They kind of have a little bit of a heather look to them. They're light, breathable. And I wear just any jeans that are comfortable, and then a pair of chaps. I don't like chinks in the ranch riding on me personally. Some people, they look really good on, but mm-hmm. if your upper leg is any kind of length long, they make your upper leg look even longer. So I encourage all my customers to have a pair of chaps, like full length, you mm-hmm. know, leather chaps, a belt, you know, normal belt and a buckle. We don't really do the wild rags as much anymore, unless it's really cold in the winter, and then you probably wear a vest over it too. Whatever hat makes them the most comfortable, felt or straw or whatever they want. I wear a felt in the winter and at the world shows, and then a straw in the summer. Cause we do show outside a lot, and a felt would definitely not be the wisest decision. So we do show in the felt or in the straws a lot, and then the felts at the world shows. So
okay, got it. And do you ban the horse's hair? I can't remember. I remember
no, like, it's actually not legal to ban or braid anything. Okay. Yep.
Oh, they just got no fake tails, right?
Nope, no fake tails. So we can't have bands or braids, no fake tails, and no hoof black. And then they can't even have like the glue in extensions or anything like that. So,
wow. Very nice.
And I've had, when I was a youth, when we were running for that High Point title, one of the judges, I had a really dark, really, really dark sooty Palomino gelding, and his feet were very, very black. And they thought I had hoof black on. And I was like, I promise I don't. And they zeroed me out. They were like, nope, you have hoof black. And I was like, dang, I really don't. I promise.
Oh my gosh. So, it's like, check for it. It's not there.
Yeah. Yeah. They were serious about it. And I, you know, I can't really blame them. It was 2:00 in the morning and everybody was exhausted. And I was like, you know what? There's always the next show. And we ended up winning the High Point. So I was fine with it. It's all right.
Congrats. So this kind of leads me into my next question. So what traits and conformation do you look for when looking for a versatility ranch horse or breeding one?
So, you know, conformation is form to function, and if you look at a horse and you see that horse is well balanced, that muscle flows all together, their angles of their legs are correct, good pastern angle, good hock angle. I don't want a horse that's too straight. I don't want a horse that's too sloping. I like a shorter backed horse, but not so short that they like are uncomfortable to ride. I just think that the shorter bagged horses can sometimes be a little more athletic and they can collect a little bit better than those longer bagged horses. Not to say that they can't do it at all. Like, I have horses in the barn that are a little long and we have a little bit of trouble putting them together, but they still look good, you know? So I really like the ones that you just look at a picture. You see those new confirmation pictures on Facebook and you just look at that horse and you're like, wow, that's just a pretty horse. Mm-hmm. And then you can start picking them apart a little bit. So, you know, I don't have any make or breaks as far as confirmation goes, but I do want to see that horse move at the walk and trot and the lope, not under saddle at first. And I want to see if they have like a natural ability to extend the trot and extend the canter out or to extend the lope. And if they have like a free moving shoulder, I do like a really, really well sloped shoulder. We have the extended walk and a lot of people don't really focus on it. They don't really train hard on that extended walk. Mm-hmm. But if you get a +1 on your walk, then, you know, you might be a half a point above everybody else in your scoring. Walk counts, you know, so.
That was so hard. I remember they put that in the horsemanship classes back in the day. And they'd always break into the jog. That was harder than any other extended jog, extended lope. The extended walk was the hardest.
Yes. It is hard. And people don't realize, like, it's so important. And I love those horses just to swing those hips and swing their shoulders and get that really big walk. I love a good walk on a horse. So.
Love a good walk.
Yes.
Well, lastly, we always ask this last question. I do want to ask you about your podcast in a minute here, but first, tell us your favorite funny story about your favorite quarter horse in the show ring, outside of the show ring, just what comes to mind.
Oh my goodness. So of course I love my own horse. His name is Rugged and Wranglers. He is a white boy. He's a Perlino. So we get comments all the time about him and people love him, but I talk about him a lot, but as of this moment, I have a horse and his name is a Silver Gunner, and we're taking him to the paint world, and he is deaf and he also has one eye. He lost his eye in a pasture accident as a yearling or a weanling, I think, but he is the kindest horse and he's so funny. Like, we put him in the stall at the horse show and he just kind of goes around. He's really quiet. But then this was actually this past weekend, and it's just come to mind because everybody loves him. And one of my customers was, I think, filling waters, and it was on his offside that he couldn't see. And he just, like, swings his head around and just slams into her and just, like, knocks her out of the way.
Oh my gosh.
And he was, like, so perplexed by it. He was like, what the heck just happened? And she was like, did he not see me? And I'm like, no, he didn't see you. Of course he didn't see you. You're on the blind side. But he's just a funny horse overall. I really like this horse. Mm-hmm. And I hope he can do some big things. But he's just a funny guy. He's not study. He's a stallion. He's not study. He will stand next to any kind of horse, mare, gelding. Mm-hmm. He is so quiet and kind, and we love him.
Aww.
So,
like a little angel.
And it's not a super funny story, but it's just something that I thought of. Yeah. And he's just funny because he looks so funny. We call him, he needs like a handicap in the ranch riding.
Oh, he's so like a character. I love it.
Yes, definitely.
So now, lastly, tell us about your podcast.
So I have a podcast called That's Horse Business, and I run that with my friend Kelsey Keithley, who owns Norfleet Photography or Marketing and Photography. And me and Kelsey have been friends for almost 15 years. I think it's about 14 years. And we met on Twitter as I met a lot of my current friends and business peers. And we have been talking about doing a podcast for probably the last 4 years. But we were both in school. We both were starting our businesses. We just never had time to stop and actually do it. So we decided, we were just like, dude, we just got to do this. And it was about a year ago, probably this week or next week, I think, that we recorded our first one. And that one was 3 hours long, and it's just us talking about ourselves. Basically, it's kind of narcissistic of us, but, you know, but we just wanted to introduce ourselves at that first one. And then we ended up interviewing Steve Meadows and Shannon and Brad Hill, Daniel Patton, and Cody Crow last year for the Paint World, the ranch tour stuff, right before the Paint World. Mm-hmm. And we've had some really great guests on there. We talk about business related things. We've had Kirsty Jones has been on with us. We've had several, like Emma with M Custom Show Pads and some show clothing designers, all kinds of stuff. So we really just wanted to highlight some of our fellow business owners that we felt were pushing the industry in a positive way. And I feel like we've done a pretty good job so far. We're kind of on a hiatus right now because it's World Show season. I'm super busy because we're taking like 8 horses to the World Show this year. And she's busy. She's got both of her horses at home, plus her sister's minis. So she's busy taking care of those horses. And but we're going to get back to it. So expect some new content from us soon. So
that's awesome. Where can people find the podcast and just your socials, your website?
So the podcast is on everywhere that you listen to podcasts, Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon, I think another one. And it's called That's Horse Business. Let me say that again. You can cut this out. It's called That's Horse Business. Mm-hmm. And again, you can find that anywhere. And we have a Podbean site as well. And then Kelsey's business is Norfleet Marketing and Photography, and she does graphic design and photography. And my social media is Jenna Seal on Facebook or Jenna Seal Performance Horses. I also have a TikTok. It's J Money Sign, and Instagram is Jenna Seal as well. I just post horse things. That is all I post. There's nothing personal ever. I don't have a personal life. I just, you know, I just train horses. I live and breathe this every day. So, and anybody that has any questions about the ranch horse events, feel free to message me anytime. So,
well, that's perfect. Well, thank you for joining us today. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Thanks so much for tuning into the Quarter Horse Podcast on Horses in the Morning. Be sure to like, subscribe, and tell your friends all about the world's favorite breed of horse.